asked to remind you that in your bulletin there is a little place, a flyer that you can use to take notes if you'd like to take notes. Some people do, some people don't. There's some information on the back that I'm going to share with you later. You don't need to look at that now, but in the front, if you'd like to take notes, you can do that. Today's message is stand still, get moving. All right? And we're going to be looking at Exodus. We'll do that in a little bit. First, I want to tell you about a man who absolutely hated his wife's cat. Now, before I go any further, I don't want to get posts on Facebook that, you know, Pastor Jerry hates animals. And actually, the cat's going to come out good in this whole story eventually, so just hang in there. But anyway, there was a man who absolutely hated his a man hated his wife's cat. And he decided he was going to get rid of this cat. So he put the cat in his car and he drove 40 blocks away. Found a place, a park, opened up the door, let the cat out. Drove back home. As he gets home, before he could pull in the driveway, there's the cat walking up the driveway. Well, the next day, he takes the cat a little further, goes about 60 blocks away, finds a good spot, drops the cat off, drives home as quickly as he could. Sure enough, there's the cat in the driveway before he could even get home. And each day, he drives this cat further and further away. And each day, he gets home, and the cat's home before him. Well, he couldn't take it anymore, so finally, he decided he took this cat and he drove for miles, and he made left turns and right turns, went over bridges and down alleys, and went into wooded areas and drove, make more left turns and right turns. And finally, when he thought he was in the right place, he dropped that cat off. A couple of hours later, his wife gets a phone call from him. He said, "Hon, is the cat there?" She said, "Yes, he is." "Why do you ask?" He says, "Could you please put them on? I'm lost and I need directions." Did you ever just want to get away from it all? We go through that all the time, right? Things get tough and we just say, "Man, I just wish I could get out of here," right? You know, we feel the stress of that. We feel the oppression of that. We just want to get away. We feel trapped. And we just think, you know, if I just get to a new place, then everything will be okay. Because, of course, the grass always looks greener on the other side of the fence, right? Of course, until you get there. Then when you get there, you find out you still got to water it, and you still got to weed it, and you still got to mow it. Someone once said, if the grass looks greener on the other side of the fence, be careful, it's probably astroturf. You need to think about that a little bit. But anyway... But often that's how things go. We think, you know, if I could only start over again, get away someplace else and just start over again, then I could be free. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but if you do feel that way, well, then the book of Exodus is for you, because that's what the book of Exodus is about. It's a story about escape from slavery, leaving a miserable circumstances behind. But that's just part of the story. It's also about moving into a new life with new challenges and new situations. And it's not so much only about a story about getting away, but what happens after you get away. God's people are freed from oppression in Egypt. And now they're put on this long journey because they wanted to get away from it all, to greener pastures. And so now they're on this long journey. And it's a reminder to us of all that we want to be released from, all the things that enslave us and that we want to be free from. But remember, that's less than half the story. God's people are freed from slavery, and they have great joy. But it's not an easy journey, they soon find out. They got away from what they wanted to get away from, but this new journey was not an easy journey. It's never an easy journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. Never. And Exodus overshadows or foreshadows the New Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus frees us from the bondage of sin that's in our lives. He frees us from a meaningless life, from a life without purpose, to a new life, a life that's devoted to the Lord God Himself. And He leads us in this journey, and it's a joyful, fulfilling journey. Yet, it's not an easy journey, but one that takes us through, a journey that takes us through trials and troubles and temptations. But eventually it's going to get us to a life or an eternal home. So along the way, just as in Exodus, our journey is going to be filled with disappointments and hardship, but in the end, the Promised Land. Exodus also helps us to see, as does the New Testament, that in this journey, that is not easy, the one thing that we know we can be sure of is that God's power and presence is always with us. Is always, always with us. And along the way, there's going to be disciplines that we need to learn as we are learning to be God's people. And there are going to be commands that God will give us at certain times, certain things we need to do or not do, and certain commands that we'll need to follow. As well as the joys of knowing God, of serving, the joys and the security and the blessing of being daily in the presence of God, the privileges of knowing and delighting in and worshiping the Holy One. So just as the journey of Exodus, our journey with Jesus is going to take us from freedom and bondage to sin to a journey of following Him with all of our heart. And this journey is going to involve two things. And those are the two things that I want to talk about with you today. In our text today, Israel, the people of God, are being set free from slavery. They're going to what they think is going to be greener pastures, and eventually they will be. But they're right at this point, they're stuck. They're stuck with the Red Sea in front of them, and the army of Egypt with all its forces behind them. And they're kind of stuck in the middle, and they're panicking. They don't know, what do you do? You can't go forward, you can't go backward. What are you going to do? I saw a poster this week that gave the meaning of fear, F-E-A-R. Those letters stand for either face everything and run, or face everything and rise. And it's your choice. One of two of those things is your choice. So here it is, Israel. They appear that they really don't even have a choice. They can't run or rise up against this army. And so they start to complain, and they curse Moses, and they say, we should just go back to Egypt. Can you imagine that? They want to go back to slavery. But that's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy wants you to get so fearful and lose hope, so that going back to what God has released you from seems tempting. You almost say, you know, I might as well just go back to the thing that you were once bound to. So, let's look at this scripture. I'm going to read from Exodus chapter 14. First, let's look at verse 13 and 14. Remember now, Egypt is stuck between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army. They're feeling panicked, they're discouraged, they're confused, and they think, let's just go back with Egypt. Let's just surrender to the enemy and go back. But here's what Moses says to them, verse 13, Exodus chapter 14. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Someone just needs to hear that this morning. Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. You don't have to do anything. God's going to do it. You just stand still and watch what the Lord, how the Lord is going to rescue you today. This enemy, the Egyptians that you see today, you'll never see them again. The Lord Himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Have faith. Stay calm. The Lord is with you. Trust Him. Then Moses goes to find a place to pray, it would seem. And it goes on in verse 15 and says, and then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. Now that had to be kind of confusing when he went to the people and said, all right, get moving. Because he just told them to stand still. And they must have said, all right, Moses, which one is it? You want us to stand still or you want us to get moving? Seems to be you're contradicting yourself. Is it one or the other? Well, actually, it's both. Actually, it's both. And that's what we're going to look at today. And the first thing I want to look at is standing still. Standing still. That phrase, standing still, can also mean stand firm. It has to do with faith. It has to do with getting before God until you have faith. Stand still, that you might stand firm. Moses is facing what appears to be inevitable danger. Probably no one has ever faced something so serious as Moses did in this situation. Yet, he seems unruffled. And he tells the people of God that they should be the same way, unruffled. It's as if he's saying to them, don't be afraid. Be still and know that He is God, the all-powerful God. Be still and know that He is God. Stand firm in your trust for Him. Get into His presence and wait and watch and see what He will tell you and what He is going to do. Just stay calm. Get into the Lord's presence and stay calm that you might be able to have faith and that you could stand firm and don't be afraid of any situation. That's what Moses tells them. Stand still in the presence of God that you might stand firm in your faith. So Moses meets their fear with strong faith. For Moses, fear meant face everything and rise. So, where does Moses get this courage from? He gets it because he was a man who knew how to stay still in the presence of God and receive instruction and receive power from Him. He knew what that was like. And he looked and he saw that pillar of cloud and he knew God is with us. God is still with us. He has not abandoned His people. He is still accompanying them. And he had confidence, and his confidence grew solely from the hope of a loving and powerful God. Now, he didn't expect the way God was going to deliver him, but he knew that he could trust God to deliver him. The people of God needed to surrender. Surrender not to hopelessness, surrender not to the enemy, not to hopelessness in front of them or the enemy behind them, but they needed to surrender by looking up to God and to surrender to Him. He would deliver them. But first, He would have to test their faith. Would they obey Him? After Moses spoke these words of faith, he went into prayer and he cries out to the Lord. Moses got onto his face in the presence of God once again. Many times, Moses was alone with God. That's where his courage came from. But before he could move forward, he had to stand still before God. And we too will face trouble in our journey, our spiritual journey with the Lord. And there are certain disciplines that will help us in this journey. For example, Scripture. Hearing, reading, meditating on, memorizing, studying the Bible. Not only to get knowledge, but to hear from God. God will speak to you from His Word. This is one of the tools we need to get still, to stand still before God. We need to be in the Word of God, to meet God there, to hear from God there. We can use prayer as a discipline. Again, not just asking God for things, but listening. Sometimes we ask God, and we don't listen for His answer. Kind of rude. We need prayer, not only praying to get something from God, but to pray to get with God. Again, to hear Him. And all of this goes along with another discipline, silence and solitude. Silence and solitude, one of the most challenging and least practiced disciplines among Christians today. I know we're all so busy. If you're too busy for God, then you're too busy. We need this discipline of getting before God, being still before God. It's vital to our growth in Christ. It's vital to our growth in faith. We need to find time to get silent and just be alone with God. Psalm 37, verse 7 says this, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently on Him." These private spiritual disciplines tune our heart to God's heart. There's a direct link between our private, personal devotions and our personal life, our personal faith. Trials come into life, sometimes unexpected. They'll catch us off guard. Like my friend who had to find his way home when he got the cat, took the cat far away. Sometimes we need some direction home ourselves. We need direction home. And God offers that to us. And the way that He offers it to us is by getting silent, standing still in His presence. I hear people describe their daily morning devotions. And usually they say things, they describe it like, I need to be filled up for the day. Or I use it as a time to intercede for others. But I'm talking about something different here. I'm saying not only to talk to, or turning to God to get something, but to be with someone. Not turning to God to get something, but to be with someone. And, you know, we have devotions and we come to church and maybe we're a part of a small group and we're hoping that that will help us to withstand whatever life is going to throw at us. And it won't. You need to pay attention to God all day long, every day. You must carry His presence with you all day long. Like Brother Lawrence. Anyone ever read Brother Lawrence's book, Practicing the Presence of God? It's a classic. If you can get your hands on it, you should read that. But we need to slow down the pace of our lives, and we need to balance activity with contemplation. There's great spiritual disciplines that we could use as tools that will help us in this journey, but we need time to stop, to surrender. Stopping to surrender. Stopping to surrender. Surrendering to God in trust. Then, when God speaks to us, get moving. That's the next thing. Get moving. We know that Moses was in the presence of God praying because in verse 15, he says to Moses, "All right, enough crying out to me. I heard you. Now get moving." There's a time to listen and be still, and there's a time to act and to move. Private devotion is time with God in prayer and Bible in this time of solitude and silence, but it prepares us to get moving. This phrase, get moving, literally means start on a journey. Start on a journey. That's what this is all about. Moses told the people, trust God. But they had to prove that trust when he said to them, get moving. They were like, get moving where? I got this wall in front of me called the Red Sea. Got the enemy on our tail. What do you mean move? Moses said, the Lord said, move. Walk towards that Red Sea. Walk towards that wall. What is the wall that's in your life? Walk towards that wall. What's the obstacle that's in front of you? Walk towards it. It seems unreasonable. It seems impossible. But God said to move. So move. Move forward. Don't miss God's purpose for your life. You have to face that wall. You have to walk through that wall. If you don't, you're going to stagnate on the other side of that wall. You have to move forward. In this journey, we're going to come up against walls all the time. You have to find your way through it. How? Be still first. Hear from God. Listen to what He tells you to do. And get moving. I said earlier, our spiritual journey always needs these two things. Number one, stand still. Number two, get moving. They're not a contradiction in terms. They're complementary. In other words, we must stand still in the presence of God and then go forward in God's power. Stand still in the presence of God that you might go forward in God's power. So you need both. Before you act, before you move, you need to get to stand still. Wait patiently on Him. When He speaks to you, then you need to move. You need to do what He tells you to do. First, stand still. That's where you connect with God. That's where you remind yourself that there's hope. That's where your hope lies. That's where your faith grows. That's where you get a chance to surrender to Him. That's where you hear from Him and get direction and guidance. And when you do, then you get moving. You do what He's told you to do. Yes, you need to wait on the Lord, but there's going to be a point when God's going to say to you, why are you still crying out to me? I already told you what to do. Now get moving. Prayer must be followed by obedient action. You know, sometimes we pray about what to do. God tells us what to do. We just keep praying about it. We keep on asking God for guidance that He's already given us. And He brings the same thought to our minds. I told you this is what you should do. We keep ignoring that. We keep saying, oh God, tell me what to do. And I think our continued prayer is an excuse to justify why we're not acting, why we're failing to act. If God told you to do something, start moving in that direction. It may not make any sense. You say, God, this doesn't make any sense, but because you're telling me, I'm going to take a step and start moving in that direction. Moses' past encounters with God assured him, God's leading. This is just going to be another victory. I know it doesn't seem it right now, but this is going to be another victory. I belong to God. I don't need to keep on crying out to Him now. I need to start moving. There's a time to move. To take that step of faith. To move towards that treacherous, the waters, you know, the wall. Just move towards it. Some act without first being still before God. The results are disastrous. And sometimes people keep on crying out and never move. That's just as disastrous. This journey of our spiritual lives is difficult. And sometimes we have to face everything and rise, not face everything and run. And depending on how you run, that also could be disastrous. Amen. Know that God is with you. The Bible teaches us always, always, always you need these two things. Stand still before God. And then when He speaks, get moving. stand still in the presence of God, that you can move forward in the power of God. If you look at, again at that insert from your bulletin, on the reverse side, I have that scripture that we just looked at, and a place for you to put your own thoughts. And then at some, just a little paragraph reminding you of what we spoke about today. And then there's a prayer that you could say. And I would encourage you to use this during the week, whether you use it several times in the week or one time this week or whatever. Just use this as an opportunity to get alone with God. Let's pray together. Let me give you a moment right now to just get alone with God. God will speak much more powerfully to you in your quiet time with Him. Today He might say to you, I just need you to be still more with me. Or today He might say to you, you know what I've told you to do, you need to start moving. I don't know. God's going to speak specifically to your situation. Just get together with Him now. Take a few moments. I'll close in prayer when the Lord says it's time. There is someone here today who needs to hear, don't be afraid. God is with you. Just be still. He is going to rescue you today. Today He's telling you, He is going to rescue you. Just stay calm. Continue to trust. Don't be afraid. He's going to come to your rescue. There's someone here today, and God is saying to you, okay, it's time to move. You've been speaking about this and thinking about this and praying about this and crying out to me about this for a long time. Now it's time to move. Forget about the wall that's in front of you. Trust me and move in the direction that I'm telling you to go. You can trust me. Amen. If you would stand with me, I just want to close our service in prayer. Almighty God, loving God, holy God, merciful God, Father, Savior, Holy Spirit and presence, thank you for this time together today. Thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for speaking to us today, Lord. And I pray, God, that we would leave here today with hope, with help, with power to just continue on this journey that you have called us to, Lord. We know it's a difficult journey from where we start meeting with you until our eternal home. But we know, Lord, that you're with us the whole way for this journey. Your power, your presence goes with us. And so, Lord, I pray your blessing upon each and every person that is here, each family that's represented, Lord. And, Lord, that you would just give them a sense that you love them, that you are with them, and that you are leading them. We love you, Lord. And, Jesus, we pray these things in your name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Those who are going to meet with me for the baptism, if you would come to the front, thank you. We have refreshments downstairs.